This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call John Little at Malaganas Edwards Johnson.
Hit 104.7.
Ned.
Mm-hmm.
There is something that NASA are proposing to do that has me a little nervous.
Yeah, look, well, I said it before and you're right. Everything that NASA does makes me nervous, but they're also trained professionals who study their entire lives to do what they do. It's not just like if...
Oh, my God. Sorry. This has already been done.
It's already happened.
This is too late.
Yeah.
This is not even... What have we done?
Your warning is going to fall on deaf ears.
It's too late. Yeah. It's too late for my warning.
You did say that this is something that only you probably think. So what happened? What's going on? What
NASA
are they doing?
NASA sent a whole bunch of squid into space.
Wow.
Now, the reason I freak out about this,
yeah,
and I realize this is going to get a little bit weird,
yeah,
there is a theory that octopus and squid are actually aliens.
Yeah, they have no DNA genetic makeup of any other living thing on Earth.
They can do things that other animals can't do.
Yeah.
They live in the ocean. They've evolved to a point and then just kind of stopped. There is all these little different things that potentially, as they're coming out of my stupid head, might be half-truths, but I've read them and they're fascinating. And when you add them all together, the conspiracy theory is that, like, octopus came off like a meteorite that fell into the ocean and they literally are aliens.
It's like a bacteria that came or something. The way I understand it is that, like, they don't evolve, they adapt.
Yeah,
so they can adapt to stuff like instantly, so they never evolve because they can, like, if something's too hot, their blood will run cold, so they never have to adapt.
They're potentially aliens.
And they're the only things on Earth that can do that.
And we've now sent them into space.
Yeah. Well, isn't that good, though? Is that like sending them home?
No, because it's like the end of ET. We're experimenting on them.
Yeah, I guess.
That's why they've been sent into space.
And honestly,
it's for study, so that we can work out, it says here whether we can work out how we would travel through space better.
Right.
Which I don't understand.
Yeah, that's surely monkeys would be a better option, I would think.
Yeah,
you're right. I didn't even really think about that. I guess we are sending them home. We're sending them home with the 20,000 years of calamari, squid.
Oh, no. I didn't even think about
shops.
Food.
Yeah.
Oh,
are they cuttlefish or are they squid?
No, they're baby Hawaiian bobtail squid.
Oh, that's bad.
Baby Hawaiian bobtail squid.
That's really
so
bad.
They're babies as well.
Yeah.
It's like that episode of Futurama where we ate the poplars and then they came down.
This is bad. This is very bad.
Oh, no.
We've not been good to squid as a people.
We haven't, because they're delicious.
They are great.
It's a massive problem.
If they didn't go so well with lemon, they wouldn't be in this predicament. But yeah.
Do we send some breadcrumbs up as well to really just drive the point home? Oh, my God.
Some tartare sauce? I don't know. Well, no, yeah, that's honestly more arrogant.
We should have all been consulted about this before it happened, because this potentially is a declaration of war to the aliens.
If we were going to send up any animals to like convince aliens that we're good people, it'd be cats. Because cats have walked all over us forever. Actually, no, that's a bad idea, because then the cats would be like, you can tell these people to do whatever they want.
Actually, the cats
would
be like,
feed you, they'll clean your poo, like they'll let you live inside.
They'll let you sit on top of their home entertainment units and act like you're the king of the lounge room.
You can
all
knock
sort of stuff.
Vases off shelves and smash them, no one cares. Yeah, not cats, dogs, I suppose. Yeah.
Bad.
Bad news all round.
Well, this will either go one of two ways.
It really will.
We'll either start an intergalactic war with the actual squid that are going to be angry.
The squid people.
Or these squid will come back and we'll find that sending them into space only makes them more delicious.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Look, Ned. Odd experience for me last night. Okay, so almost the most unfortunate thing that's happened to me this year, near on.
This is going to be a fun adventure, Canberra, because this is a what would you do scenario.
It's
what would you do?
At the end of all this, you choose your own adventure. I chose mine, which is now in reflection, probably not the right thing to do, but here's what happened.
I've got a hash brown. Can I eat this while you tell the story?
You can, actually. You can. That actually would put me at ease, because I do feel I don't feel bad so much as I'm just like, whatever.
Do tell.
What happened? You can eat it. You can't talk, though.
No, I'm not going to talk. I want to be regaled with the tale.
What happened was that I sold my couch yesterday to a dude, and don't look at me like that either. You're looking at me like you're five.
I'm at a campfire hearing a story.
This story isn't that important or interesting. Will you finish your hash bread now?
I'm done now.
What a waste of my time and no one else's. So what happened was I sold a couch yesterday on Facebook Marketplace. Dude came and got it pretty late. So this is maybe 6:30-ish. Him and his mate came and got it, came to get it in a van. My couch is quite big, but it's detachable. You can disassemble it, so it goes off into little pieces. And so we're doing that, and I was helping him carry it out. So we went out, we took the first massive part, took it out to their van, no worries, came back, went to grab another piece. And in that time, I let us back into my apartment, opened the door with the keys, chucked them on the bench, grabbed another part of the couch, went to walk out. As I was in the hallway, like past them, because I walked out first to open up the second door for them, realized don't have my keys in my pocket at all. And these guys only have half a couch and they've just paid me handsomely for the couch. So if this door locks, that's it. That's game over. I'm also moving out of my apartment in 6 days. So my real estate agent's probably not going to want to come and open up the door for a guy who's not going to be a guy who gives them any money in 5 days' time. So she's probably not going to want to come out. So I'm like, well, this is, I guess I've made my bed. I need to lay in it. I yell out just to say, grab the door. Don't let that door close. And the guy shoves his toe in it right as it's about to close. It's honestly open by a bit less than 5 centimeters. He caught it at the very last second.
Oh, what a
hero.
Because
my door, the second it closes, it's locked. It's game over. And none of the other doors were. I'm obviously like moving out, so none of my stuff's in there. So I was actually going to have to either message you, but I don't even know if I had my phone on me, or I don't know, go and live with these guys for the night or something.
Which I don't know if they would have been up for.
No.
Here's the problem. That's amazing.
It was so amazing. And I said to the guy,
the door's saved by the guy.
Yeah.
Good luck.
And I said to the guy, I was like, honestly, I wouldn't have been able to get in. No way my real estate agent. I just recalled everything to you.
Call out fee. Probably, as you said, the real estate's not going to want to help you. So probably $200 locksmith call out fee. 100%.
I've had to do it before. Once before, and it's quite expensive if you have to. But I said to the guy, thanks so much. And he was like, no worries. And I was like, well, this guy just gave me XYZ amount of money.
Interesting.
Maybe I slip him
back
a note
$50
back. Well, $50. That's insane.
Give him $50 back of the money he just paid you for the couch.
20 at most. 10 maybe even.
Tokenistic.
Well, yeah.
If you want to actually be thanking the guy for the hassle he saved you.
Yeah, what, $150?
Minimum of $50.
Yeah, well, that's it. It is obviously tokenistic because I don't owe this guy anything and he's just bought a couch off
me. I'm going to say if you were thinking 10,
yeah.
If the question at the end of this whole story has been, should you have given this
guy
money?
I was going to give this guy $20 back.
Nah, don't. It's got to be 50 at least. You've done the right
thing.
Really? Because he just would have gone, what a stingy. Because they would have, on the way home, they would have gone, because there probably is no conversation on the way home as it presently stands.
Of course.
But if you'd given the 20, the conversation would have been, what a stingy prick.
But
because,
I didn't give anything.
Because you would have had to pay like $200 to a locksmith.
That's true.
But because you didn't even offer the good gesture, there would have been no concern about the conversation at all.
So really, Scrooge.
Either be more generous or continue to be just horrible and not giving people discounts for helping you in massive ways.
It would really help me out if I'm the second one.
Yeah, good. Yeah, and continue on then.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
I, on the show on Monday, made a bit of a request around about the 20K high five system. It's the way it's all working is obviously you come and find us for a set location during the day. We're going to give you that before 9 o'clock this morning for today's location. Yesterday it was Gold Creek McDonald's. You knew we were going to be there for an hour. The rest of the time of the day, you are still allowed to come up to Ned or I if you see us and ask for a card, but you have to come up to us.
Exactly.
We're not going to tell you where we are. We're not going to go up to you and offer. You have to come up to us and say, I'd like an IOU card, please.
Yep.
And we have to go, yes.
Hey, here you go. We got heaps.
I carry these things around on me at all times.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It is just, it's the way this works.
Par for the course.
Yeah, and that's fine. But I think on Monday's show, I regaled everybody with the story of the lady at Gungahlin Marketplace who screamed at me.
She spooked you.
And it scared the living daylights out of me. Because I was like off in a trance. Yeah. And I was just walking with my groceries to the car. And she went, ah! High five! And I went, oh, God.
Yeah.
And I didn't say God. I said a word starts with F.
Yeah.
And then she was like super apologetic.
Yeah.
And so I actually said something on Monday's show that maybe we change up the rules a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? This is what I said. Try and gingerly approach.
Yeah.
Just not a loud noise.
Yeah.
Not a sudden movement. Just a gingerly, hey, can I get a card?
Yeah. The same way you would approach a cow is a good idea.
That pretty much is what I was looking at.
It was funny because I was about to say you were spooked like a cow. I forgot that I referred to you as a cow.
You literally said
it. And you did it again.
And that's I was looking at that. I was thinking, you know what? The way you'd approach a cow, perfect explanation for how startleable I am.
Make yourself aware to the cow and then approach slowly.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was asking people to do.
Yeah.
Yesterday, once again, at Gungahlin Marketplace, different person, though. I can say this wasn't the same lady. Approached me like I was, you know, I guess probably if you touched my arm, I would have disintegrated into sand. Okay. Like, I just would have turned. Like,
oh,
the,
she was
at
very
the end
gentle.
Of the, at the end of the Avengers,
yeah.
Like, so, like, even saying words in my direction too yeah. far could cause me to just drift away into
very
a million
fragile.
Pieces.
Yeah.
She came up and she was like, excuse me, excuse me.
Oh, wow.
And I was
wow.
like, oh, sorry. And she was like, oh, are you Josh from Hit 104.7?
Yeah.
And I went, yes. She's like, can I please get an IOU card? And I went, yeah, no problems.
Lovely.
And then felt terrible because that was too much.
Yeah.
That was too much
you've
in the other direction.
You've scared this lady into scaring you.
I've freaked out everybody into thinking that I need to be treated ultra cautiously.
Yeah. And you don't need those. That you don't need that bubble
wrap. I don't need that level.
Okay.
There's some sweet spot in the middle where it's not screaming at me, but it's also not treating me like I'm a 97-year-old guy who, even at the slightest startle, my heart will just explode in my chest.
Well, the problem that we had last time is that it was all just examples.
Yes.
No, not examples. It was all just like you were saying, oh, don't do it this, don't do this. Why don't we do an example now?
I'll
play the character of Josh. You have to, because you're demonstrating what you'd like.
What I'd love. Okay.
Because we didn't tell people last time, and we're not telling people this time, so I'll be you out in the wild.
I'm going to be away from the microphone a little bit.
And I'll pretend to be you.
Yeah, you be me. Okay?
I don't know.
So I'm
going to
get. Yeah. And just for record, I'm going to be about 3 meters back. All right?
Okay,
3 meters back.
Sure. Ba ba ba. My life as Josh could not be going more.
Woo! Hello! And just so you know, there was a little twink, little jazz
like
fingers.
A little finger wave. Yeah, just a wave where it's just the fingers.
Hi.
Hey.
Are you Josh from Hit 104.7?
I am.
I think you have a card for me, potentially.
Why are you more excited than I am?
Well, because I give the cards out all the time.
I'm Josh.
I'm the person who gets the chance
to
win $20,000.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. I've got cards to give out.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, no worries. All right.
So,
good luck.
That's about how I'd like it to go, just so we all know.
Yeah. Good. That could be like a calling call for you. Like a yoo-hoo, then you know what to expect.
Yep.
If someone hits you with a yoo-hoo, you know that they're after a card. Yoo-hoo.
So not, oh my God.
Yeah.
And not, excuse me, please don't run away.
Something
it's
between
fine.
With the Goldilocks is a yoo.
Yeah, perfect.
Cut back to us in 24 hours with you going, please stop saying yoo-hoo at
me in
the
street. I have a splitting headache.
Jesus.
The frequency of it's too high.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, right now, in New Hampshire in America, there is a small little town that was rocked by a crime spree. Which is kind of scary when it's just like over the course of a night.
That's the second bit of New Hampshire news I've heard today.
Really? What was the first part?
There's a sandcastle building competition there with a top prize of $6,000 at the moment.
Apparently a lot going on in the state of New Hampshire.
Yeah.
So good on them. But
this spree, so what's happened?
So there have been a whole bunch of cars being broken into. And people find stuff have been stolen out of their cars.
Mm.
Sometimes people are like throwing trash into people's cars,
which
is pretty rude. And people just can't, the police just couldn't figure out what was going on. They were looking around and they're like, look, it doesn't seem like there's any kind of pattern to any of these break-ins. It doesn't seem like there's any kind of rhyme or reason. They're not going after a specific type of car or in a certain location. Just couldn't figure it out. Check someone's CCT footage for their car. And a massive black bear is just like leaning up on the window, smashing it, and like kind of looking through and being like, oh, yeah, there's some food. Or like, oh, this looks like food. Oh, it's just a CD. I'll take it. So the stolen stuff is like things that they think is food.
Yeah.
The trash is stuff that they're bringing into the car from outside of like, I was just eating this chip packet and it's stuck on my head, shake it off inside of this car, and now there's chip packets inside.
Is it one bear or a group of bears?
Apparently it's just one bear.
That's amazing.
And the police have, the Thornton, because it's Thornton, it's the city of Thornton in New Hampshire. They've posted, like, you know how police seemingly, a job of the police is just to post memes on their Facebook pages?
Yeah, there's a lot of police departments have very good social media departments.
They've posted a photo of, like, Yogi Bear.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Please lock up any picnicker baskets.
Yeah, right.
Last week, this bear was captured and returned to Yellowstone.
Yeah, right.
Just good gear like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would be laughing because this bear, I'm having a look
still
at the video.
Still wrecking your car.
The video they've posted of this bear in this car, he's smashed the window. He's scratched all down. He's completely ruined the side of someone's car. I don't know if I'd be like, oh, yeah, he is like a Yogi, isn't he? He thinks he's people.
I saw this when I was a kid, so I might be getting this reference wrong, but maybe it's like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Don't people come to Earth and think that cars are the dominant species on Earth and try and interact with the cars?
Maybe.
Maybe the bear thinks that. He's like, I run this town.
Yeah.
These giant metal things that drive around, they're not going to tell me what to do.
Maybe he thinks they're like shopping carts because like, I always find so much food in them. So he's like, oh, these little lock boxes that I find around that have little treats in
them. Little fridges.
It's like he's finding little little treasure chest with food.
It's very cute. Although I will say I hope that when they catch this bear, it's not Bear in the Big Blue House. It's just Bear in the Big House. Yeah. And they lock him up. Outrageous.
He's going to bear
it's
prison.
It essentially was a dad joke, but that's fine. I'm okay with it.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, there was a girl in America who went out and had $120 in her wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Not too bad. That's a casual. That's a not a bad night out.
Oh, for sure.
Well, if you can spend all $120, what I used to think when I was like 18 and worked at a coffee shop, I was like, great, I have $120. I can go out. Not realizing that after I go out, I still have 3 weeks where I need to live.
Yes.
So $120 is not for the night.
Budgeting is a thing you learn as you move through a few of those nights where you're like, oh, I'm not a millionaire.
I have no money now. Now I can't call or text anyone ever. So this lady has gone out with $120, was woken up to a message from her bank saying that obviously the $120 has been taken off it, but she's
overdrawn.
She's $50 billion in debt, minus the $120. So they've taken the $120 out of the $50 billion, but yeah, she's $50 billion.
$50 billion and $120 in debt.
So she's 49 billion, and then all the other things
amazing
minus $120.
Stuff. So obviously this has got to be some kind of error because unless she got so drunk that she bought the New York Knicks, there's no way. There is no way that you could spend $50 billion in one night.
She was in LA and she was like, last night I don't remember buying Los Angeles, so I don't know how I would be in $50 billion of debt. What happened? You're right. What happened was like the bank was trying to get in contact with her because something had like maybe some, I think, suspicious activity had gone on there.
So understatement.
So they just typed in, like they just made a grammatical, they just made an error saying, hey, you're $50 billion in debt. So she'd be like, oh, Jesus, and get in contact with them. And they're like, all right, hey, by the way, I think your card's been stolen or whatever. People are using it for...
Your card's been stolen and someone's used it to buy Warner Brothers. Yeah. You need to do something about this.
People have bought multiple countries with your card. I don't know how it's happened.
No, wait, I'm just trying to go back... 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So are you saying they did this on purpose to get her attention?
Yes.
What?
Well, because she never would have paid the $50
billion.
I don't think, not a lot of people, no one. Not a lot of people. No one sees, oh, well, I guess I'm $50 billion in debt. I'll just pay that up. Jeff Bezos could do that, but I feel like he would even be like, I'll look into it a little bit.
You know how like some companies have, you know, when they do a hostile takeover, I don't really understand this perfectly, but when they do a hostile takeover, they acquire debt and they see it as like a, we can pay this down, look good on balance sheets, all this sort of stuff. Imagine if this lady had shopped it around.
Yeah.
Look, going, hey, you know what? I've got $50 billion of clean debt. You can take this right now if you'd like it.
Yeah.
And then maybe she'd end up in the red.
Yeah.
In the black instead of the red. Wouldn't that be incredible? It.
Yeah, slightly lighter shade of red.
And the bank would just be like, maybe instead of putting people $50 billion in debt to get their attention, we just call them. Maybe we just try a couple more phone calls.
Surely that's got to be the go-to option. How scattered I've woken up from some big nights, I would see that and be like, well, call Nana.
Yep.
Nan, can I have my money for Christmas and my birthday early this year? I need it bad.
It'll be Christmas and birthday, I promise.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, there's been a flurry of petitions involving Jeff Bezos over the last couple of weeks. The first one was to have him buy and eat the Mona Lisa because he was the only person on Earth who's rich enough to be able to afford it. And then I guess eat one of the most recognizable pieces of art in the world.
We've got enough pictures of it.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess if the point
you
is
don't
to
guess so that was an insane point to make.
If the point is to remember what it looked like, we're covered.
We're covered.
If the point is to have it still, that would obviously defeat that purpose.
Enjoy it in all of its majesty. Never again.
Never ever again. Well, then there you go. I mean, I'd feel bad because I never saw it either. I feel like I should have seen it before Jeff Bezos ate it. Maybe that's what he does. He takes it on like a world tour where everyone gets to see it first, then he eats
it. Takes a little bite-sized crumple out of it every time he displays it in a
Has
city.
Has a little nibble every single time he goes to a new city. The second one was to not let him, him and his brother are going to fly into space, orbit space or whatever, and the petition was to not let him back into Earth. The second he leaves our atmosphere, I guess people think that the atmosphere is like a gate or something, or like a fence.
I have an intergalactic passport. We cancel it while he's in mid-orbit, which I put up the very important point of there are other people in the spaceship
or
with
his
him,
brother
so
for
how
one.
Is that going to work?
Exactly right. Because people are angry that he's a billionaire and like billionaires shouldn't exist. It's like, well, a bunch of people on that ship aren't billionaires. Yeah. What about them?
They'll be very rich.
Yeah. That petition got 90,000 or he's still got 90,000 votes on it. But the last one, I feel like we've reached the final conclusion of the Jeff Bezos petition saga.
Yeah.
Because the last petition, it won't work because he's so rich and he'll be able to figure it out, but I think it'd be funny to do on someone else, is that when he goes up to space, we all, like in a game of hide and seek, hide from him. So when in him and everyone on the ship lands, it seems like everyone's disappeared. Everyone's just gone missing.
Yep.
Confusing the hell out of him and everyone else. They'll think that they're on like some kind of Planet of the Apes or whatever.
Can I just quickly, so when this, so this is a petition.
It's a petition to get everyone to hide.
Do we have any idea who the petition's being presented to? Like who do the people making the petition think will make the United Nations will go, yeah.
It's got to be.
We're going to do this. We're all going to do this. I've seen the petition. It's got 110,000 signatures. So all 7 billion people on Earth are going to hide from this one guy.
Well, that's it. I guess, you wouldn't need that. You'd need 6,999,000,000.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it's a petition to each individual person.
Exactly. Right. Everyone. It's not even a petition as much as it's like, here's a memo. We all have to be on the same page for this
global memorandum.
Exactly right. It's like when you have office clean-out days or whatever. Mm. That needs to be sent out. But it's like, all right, when Jeff Bezos lands again, when he re-enters the Earth and he gets off his spaceship, we all have to hide from him.
So it's not so much, does anyone want this 4-month-old yogurt in the fridge because we're throwing it out on Tuesday, can we all hide from this one guy?
Because we'd be fine. He's not landing in Australia, so you and I would live our lives normally. It's just like a Truman Show when he lands here, we've got to all hide from him.
Oh, so the people at the landing site hide. That's a lot more achievable.
Yeah, because you've just got to hide if you're in the vicinity of Bezos.
I thought you were going to say everyone on Earth just had to pretend that we're all gone. Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know if you've seen what's been going on over the last 18 months. We can't get organised on any front.
No.
The Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Just quickly, there's a family in England who have had a very, very lovely reunion that was unexpected, to say the very least.
Okay.
Now, they had a Jack Russell puppy named Crumpet.
Great. Already love it.
Crumpet was 3 months old and microchipped and all that, and unfortunately went on a little adventure back in 2010 and left the family's backyard at 3 months old and never came back.
Wow. 3 months old and he was gone.
Crumpet's gone on an adventure. Crumpet's very much a unisex name, though, I understand.
It's the name of a food.
Yes. the point here is she's gone. She's probably got a new family, you'd hope.
Yeah.
That's best case scenario.
Best case scenario.
Worst case scenario. Crumpet is the thickness of a crumpet on the road somewhere. And that's a terrible thing.
3 month old puppies out on their own don't last that long.
Here's the thing, right? And this is where I'm going to feel horrible, because the great news here is Crumpet's been found. They've done the microchip and they've reunited Crumpet with the family that she lived with for probably a month.
Yeah. 11 years later.
11 years later.
That is bizarre.
Isn't that bizarre?
That's so strange.
Crumpet's lived an entire life without this family. It doesn't say here where Crumpet's been. I guess they probably, with another family, you'd have to assume, and then has gone for another wander and has been microchipped back to her original family.
It's kind of mean.
It's bizarre, but apparently Crumpet's got some health problems.
Right.
Heart murmurs.
That's why she's been returned.
Now that she's gotten expensive. The other family's gone, wow, this was a fun idea when
off
we found
go, Crumpet.
It. Heart murmur, tumours in both ears, and she's deaf.
Oh, that's not good. Well, she's 11 years old.
It actually does say that that's what they think's happened. The vet has suggested that someone thinks that the vet bills have piled up, and so her other family have actually just dumped her. Crumpet's had a rough life.
Well, kind of. They're 11 years apart.
For the decade that she was with that family, they must have been being okay to her. Look, here's the thing. This is where the Cruella de Vil question comes in. I love dogs. Let me preface what I'm about to say by saying I love dogs. Do you want Crumpet back at this point?
Yeah. It's not the same. Well, first of all, you don't even know the dog you bought, but it's certainly not the same dog you got 11 years ago.
It's not even about it being the same dog. I mean, it's wonderful to be reunited with a pet and have a question answered that you've probably been wondering about for a decade. But now you've got Crumpet's probably last 6 months.
Yeah, which sounds like they're plagued with health bills.
I almost would just rather never know what happened to Crumpet and just imagine she went to live on a farm somewhere than get this last miserable 6 months.
Where Crumpet's just like, I can't hear anything. I need to go to the vet every 3 days. Please help me. It's like, oh, Crumpet.
Well, you really shouldn't have left our backyard.
If you hadn't done what you did 11 years ago, none of this would have been happening.
You know where they have a fairly effective fence, Crumpet? The pound, which is where you're going.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned,
Yes.
Everybody's always on the lookout for extra ways to earn a bit of money on the side.
Yeah.
They talk about it these days and, you know, the millennials, Gen Z, everything's talking about how to turn your hobby into a hustle.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I tell you, as somebody who has hit the absolute jackpot here in this job, my dream job, but I did turn a hobby into a hustle.
You did.
It kind of ruins the hobby.
Yeah.
It becomes your job.
Don't do something that you like a love doing whenever you want to do it.
Make sure that if you do turn a hobby into a hustle and you are very lucky to be able to make money out of it, you get a new hobby because you still need something that's just for fun.
Yeah, because I occasionally like drawing and painting
good,
and stuff.
Don't but accept if I started, money to do that.
If I started selling them, then it wouldn't be fun because I'd be like, oh, I've got to get this out. I've got to do this. Kind of like this.
Yeah, you've got to make sure that you keep a hobby to yourself. So I'm saying, well, that was just my little bit of a check-in with everybody about hobbies, but this is actually just a straight-up hustle because this is a way to earn some money on the side that is phenomenal.
I feel like an idiot for not having a side hustle because everyone has one. You have one. You do trivia. I really feel like I should have one.
No, this is potentially up your...
I'm not good at anything.
It's potentially up your alley, quite frankly, because you don't have to necessarily be that good at anything. You also have quite an intimidating voice when you yell.
Okay.
When you sort of go, rah.
I'll do my dog, when I go off and my dog texts when he's like going through the bin. Get out of it!
Yeah, that's terrifying. Yeah. It's like Batman. It's Aussie Batman. I've seen this story here, right? So what happens is there is a company called LiveEye, and it's becoming more and more popular in the US. What basically happens is you as a business say that I run a... It's a convenience store.
Sure.
There are aisles where you can go down and get lollies and chips and maybe even a packet of ketchup, potentially even some Cadbury caramel chocolate. Who cares? Whatever. Mm-hmm. It's all there ready to go for you.
Yep.
But what happens is I just run that store on my own. I can't see every angle of that store at all times. Yeah. This company is paying people to literally sit in front of screens 24 hours a day and watch the cameras. And if they see someone do anything fishy, like put a thing in their jacket or something like that, cameras are equipped with a lot of modern security cameras at home, like your doorbells, with a speaker. And then the person watching gets on and goes, "Oi, I can see you there in the red jacket. Put that back."
So side hustle is like almost a security guard.
And it alerts the person in the store that somebody's stealing. Yeah. It alerts the customer that they're being recorded.
Yeah.
And apparently it's extremely effective.
I would imagine so. This sounds an incredible idea.
So there will be businesses everywhere going, "That's amazing. That's incredible."
Yeah.
I've taken the other side of this and gone, finally, the hours and hours and hours of Big Brother that I watched as a kid growing up in the early noughties.
It's prepared you.
Have prepared me for this moment.
Yeah.
I could absolutely go home after a day here and sit there for 5 hours and just watch a convenience store.
Yeah, it'd be pretty fun.
I'd be fine to do that.
You know what,
it'd get boring so quick.
Yeah, very quick.
But and you know occasionally something would happen and you'd be able to go, "This is Big Brother. Put the paddle pop back in the freezer."
Because you're right, it would get so boring.
Oh, yeah.
The thing I'd be worried about is that I get so bored that I'd start telling people about stuff that wasn't about shoplifting. Mm. Like someone would go pick up a loaf of bread. I'm like, "There's a cheaper one in aisle 7. Buy local milk. Don't buy national milk."
You in the red hat. "I have that t-shirt as well."
Cool shoes, dude.
Did you get that from Cotton On?
That's pretty much where it'd go.
That was the Ned and Josh. Ned and Josh podcast.
John Little, your Canberra region workers compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.